This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we are back with another episode of the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. I am Kevin, here with my sister, Mary.
What's up, guys?
Hey, and how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Actually, pretty shitty, but I'm
really? Yeah. I had a really good Monday.
No.
I'm sorry.
We're going to do this. We're going to do these episodes, and these did not brighten my day.
Apparently not.
No, they did not. And I can't wait to talk about some of this stuff that happened, because we're covering Season 3, Episodes 5 and 6, Initiation, and Diwali, yes. But before we jump into those, why don't you tell me what we did last week?
Well, last week we watched the abortion of two episodes called The Coup.
You really hated them.
They weren't good.
They weren't quality. They were like replacement level shows. Weren't quality.
I mean, like The Coup, guys, when I write my notes, I generally, as you know, I basically transcribe episodes. I literally had a page and a half of notes on The Coup.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just, this is it.
I didn't notice that last
week. Yeah, it really didn't give me anything. It just didn't do it for me.
I like
me.
How you finished with, not great. What a perfect sentence.
It's funny, nothing insane, good, but not great.
Oh, okay.
That was my note to myself.
I just saw that and was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, last week, in The Coup, we saw Michael turning Mondays into movie Mondays. Jan catches him. Dwight thinks he can run the office better with encouragement from Angela. He goes and tells Jan that he can do better while massacring perfectly delicious pancakes and oversaturating them with maple syrup. Michael finds out.
You can't eat pancakes without syrup.
No, but he poured an entire jar on them. Couldn't even cut them. They were just whoosh.
It worked.
So Michael gets told by Jan that Dwight's going behind his back. And Michael basically sets Dwight up to fail and catches him in his lie. Mm-hmm. Dwight cries, begs him not to be fired, and he now has to do Michael's laundry for the next year.
It was a year, yeah.
Yeah. Jim over in Stamford is basically flirting with his cube mate. Fellow salesperson, because we still don't have a name for most of the episode.
Yeah.
And they go on a chip hunt. It's really not.
I thought that was the next episode.
Oh, it might be.
Yeah, that was. It was so uninspired that it just blended together.
Yeah, it just wasn't inspiring at all.
Yeah.
And then we go to grief counseling where Ed Truck, the former regional manager in Michael's position, died. And Michael decided to use his death for attention.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Yeah, that's your take.
They have a funeral for a bird. He blames the bird's death on Toby. Creed decides to tell Michael that Ed Truck got killed by a truck.
Decapitated.
Because he was drunk as a skunk and went under a tractor trailer and got decapitated. So then we find out that Jim's friend in Stamford is Karen. He's our project manager. They find chips for hers. it really was
It really
not,
was lame. It, was,
it
lame.
Really was lame.
It sucked.
Last week was, it was like the kiddie roller coaster.
Yeah, we were in the down, like in a downswing. We were not coming
and
up.
It was not a fun downswing.
No, it was kind of like
a roller coaster with one baby hill.
We made the most of it. I mean,
we did. We laughed at some parts. Some parts were really funny, like when Toby got blamed for a bird's death.
Yeah, he got blamed for the bird.
But really, other than that, I mean, it was uninspiring. That's just what I'm going with.
Well, I kind of feel like we're going to have a repeat performance this week, which is kind of a bummer. But
well, I wasn't bummed until I just had to rehash those episodes.
So we got episode 5, Initiation. Do you want to take it away?
Absolutely.
All right.
So our cold open is Dwight sitting at his desk, kind of just smirking at Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And he decides to give him some riddles. And the first one is, I have two coins that total, I don't even know what.
15 cents.
15 cents. And one of them is not a nickel. And Ryan's like, it's a nickel. The other one isn't.
And the other one's a dime.
Yeah. Ha ha ha. And, like, so Dwight's just giving him riddle after riddle. After, and Ryan knows
at one point, he's getting, like, after one word, yeah. Ryan's like, oh, it's this, blah, it's blah. This, and this. Dwight's getting more and more
it's
crazy.
It's a polar bear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Dwight's just getting frustrated as fuck. Then that's cold open.
That's the cold open. It's just Dwight getting frustrated.
Shocker. So then we go over to Michael's office, and Jan is here, looking delightful as always.
Always.
And she's asking Michael what he did yesterday. And Michael's like, nothing. I didn't do anything yesterday.
He's pretty douchey with her here.
He's like a toddler throwing a fucking tantrum.
Well, no, he's like, I don't know how to describe it.
He's being indignant.
Yeah, he's like, for her being his superior. He's being really douchey. Yeah. That's
but he's
all
like, nothing. What did you do? She's like, Michael, you did nothing yesterday. So basically, Michael's like, what do you want? Okay, yeah, I worked, I went home, Carol came over, and we had sex, Jan. Is that what you want to know?
Yeah, like, it's so inappropriate.
It's absolutely inappropriate. And then Michael talks about how you should never sleep with your boss. Good thing he only got to second base with Jan, so it's now confirmed that they've never slept together.
Yeah, no, it's not confirmed, because this further muddies the waters. Because we've heard sex, we've heard making out, we've heard sleeping next to each other, and now we hear second base. Like, the reports of what happened that night are wildly all over the map.
You're
and
true.
I don't know if they fucked, I don't know if they made out, I don't know if they just went back and talked and fell asleep. Because Michael keeps changing the story. Like, the story keeps getting changed
around.
And
what has Jan said so far?
I thought Jan said they slept together.
She did at casino.
Yes, right? Am I wrong?
Holy shit.
Am I misremembering?
I'm almost positive. She said, why did I sleep with Michael?
Yes.
And Jim was like, why did you sleep with Michael?
Yeah, but Michael's saying in second base, I am so fucking confused. Does it ever come out? Like, is this like a thing that... Because you watched
out.
I'm
not spoiling anything for you.
Okay, so it does. So it does.
Spoiling.
So it does come out.
No, I'm not spoiling anything. That's what
just
I'm
tell
saying.
Me if it does or not.
No,
you don't
bro.
Have to tell me.
We had an email from Moshan who said I shouldn't spoil anything, so I'm not going to spoil shit. So anyway, Jan walks out of the office over to Pam, and she's like, "Pam, good. How are you?" Like as if Pam said anything.
Yeah, she's just she's fired up.
She's so pissed, and she goes. Yeah, I need you to document what Michael does hour by hour and send this to corporate to be analyzed.
Analyzed. That is such a professional word to use for read it.
Yeah, exactly. And like Pam's in a talking head and she's just like, Jan used to treat Michael like a 10-year-old, but anymore it's like he's 5. Like, it's that bad. So we flash over and Dwight and Ryan are going on a sales call.
Yeah.
Ryan is now a junior sales associate. He wants to basically, like, prove himself, right?
Well, he doesn't say that in his talking head.
No, he says he's been here a year, so he basically has to decide if he stays or goes.
Well, as we said a few weeks ago about another character, shit or get off the pot.
Yeah, basically.
And that's what he's doing. He's shitting.
So, they're driving in Dwight's car. Well, I don't even know what the fuck music
it's
is
some
on.
It's some awesome, like, hard
it's like
rock
80s,
metal.
It's 90s.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. It keeps the groove.
Yeah. But it definitely sets the scene.
Yeah, for what's
about
to go
down. Because they're driving by, like, a fucking cornfield. And Ryan just seems unfazed by the fact that they're driving down a dirt road.
He thinks
by
this
corn.
Is actually how you're going to get to the sales call.
Yeah. And he's asking, like, actual questions about sales. Like, okay, so how do I do this? What happens if this happens? And Dwight just stops. And he's just like, oh, where are we? Like, he's just being super mysterious and weird. Yeah. So then we flash over to Stanford. Jim and Karen are talking about a squeaky chair. Like, Karen's like, my chair is squeaky,
yeah, she's,
Jim.
She's leaning back and it's squeaking.
Yeah.
And Jim swapped his with hers.
It's really inspiring. Again, Stanford is really killing it.
Dude.
They're flirting. Ha ha.
Yeah.
I really dislike seeing Jim flirt in this atmosphere because I feel like he should have gone there and he should have straightened up and actually done his fucking job, but instead...
No, he's doing the same thing.
He's just flirting with the nearest girl near him, and it's pissing
well,
me off.
Well, to be fair, it's not like he's flirting with... It's two ways.
No, it is, but it's just like... Come on, dude. Like, Jim is a dynamic... He can be such a dynamic character, and he's just being pigeonholed for a third season into the same bullshit.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just annoying at this point, and it's only been three
fucking
episodes.
You're getting annoyed.
It's only been three fucking episodes of this.
No, five.
Of him... Like,
oh,
yeah,
with him and Karen.
Flirting.
Okay,
yeah. But anyway, so then we flash back, and Pam is watching Michael do a Cosby impression while he's on a call.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, 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 Bill Cosby.
Classic.
Pudding Pops. Dollar Pudding Pops. And so literally she writes down from 10 to 11 that he did a Cosby impression.
Mm-hmm.
And she shows the form to the camera. Then we flash back over to Dwight. And he's kind of like acting like Mr. Miyagi slash the turtle guru from Spyro. Do you remember that game?
I remember Spyro the Dragon. I don't remember the turtle too well.
Oh, there was like you had to go to like this cave and there was a turtle who would like spot
I do remember that. Yeah, you're right.
That's how he was acting.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. That's like the only game I really played as a child.
See, when you were talking about Mr. Miyagi and then you brought up a turtle, I was like, Splinter! He's being Splinter! Oh, God, yeah! I'm like, get it
not
now.
Not quite.
He was not Master.
No. So he has like a beet seed in his hand and he's telling Ryan, like, when you can grab the beet seed, then you will be a salesman. And Ryan grabs it.
Yeah, he's doing this whole like grandiose monologue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like a Mr. Miyagi turtle figure. and so then we flash back to Connecticut. Andy is trying to get Jim to walk away from his desk so Karen can take his chair, and Andy's really bad at it, and Jim already knows what's up. Then...
Okay, so we keep flashing back to three different locales.
Yeah.
And nothing is like...
Nothing's happening.
Nothing gets into gear, you know what I mean? Like, everything is just stays at this one level.
Yeah.
And I wrote it down at this point in the episode, actually, like... Way too much jumping.
Oh, my God,
you can do more than
with
just...
With three storylines,
you
can't...
You can do more than 15 seconds and then jumping, and then
exactly.
15 seconds. And do a little
Stop
more.
Stop giving me fucking snippets. Like, give me some time to, like, be invested in that storyline.
Nothing can breathe, you know?
So, then again, we flash back to Scranton, and there's an announcement over the loudspeaker.
Okay, this is the highlight of the episode. This stuff.
It is Tenon... Basically, Tenant Appreciation Day at the Scranton Business Park, and it's Pretzel Day.
Yeah.
Fresh, soft pretzels will be served in the lobby till whatever time. Literally, Stanley runs with his crossword as soon as he hears Pretzel Day.
He tucks it under his arm and does like this speech, like you see in a Pepto Bismol commercial where they go, diarrhea!
Cha-cha-cha!
Like, that's the way it looks, way he's shimmying.
But he's so excited. He runs down
there.
He
lights up. You never see Stanley like this animated.
Exactly. And then there's Michael, who kind of walks out, and he's trying to pretend like he's not trying to get down to Pretzel
Day. Yeah, he's looking at a paper.
Yeah, but he runs down to Pretzel Day, and the line is already, like, ridiculously long.
It's a big fucking deal.
It is. I mean, it's free Pretzel Day. Yeah. And they show the pretzel guy. He's making those pretzels fucking fresh.
Yeah, but he's also taking his time.
Oh, he's doing one pretzel at a time in the fucking
this little
oven.
Yeah, his little toaster oven.
So, we go back to the field with Ryan and Dwight.
Yeah.
Ryan's planting the beet seed and he's putting the dirt over it.
What does Dwight say
and
to
Dwight,
him?
Dwight's saying, like, just as you will plant the seed in the ground, I will plant my seed in you. And Ryan's like, that's not, you don't want to say that. That's wrong. And he goes, do you smell that, Ryan? And he goes, dirt? And he goes, no, that's bull crap. And a client can smell it a mile away.
That's a nice turn of phrase.
Right? And then Dwight's like, oh, and this is exactly how he said that. Oh, I forgot something in my car.
Yeah.
Let me go get it.
It's very much like last week when he lied to Michael and had all the telltale signs. Like, this one, he's not even acting.
Right?
Like, oh, darn.
Oh,
I forgot something.
Oh, shoot. Something is left in my car. Runs away, starts the car, and drives away. And Ryan's just like, I fucking should have known it.
He's in the middle of this field. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I should have fucking known it. So then we flash back to Stanley, who's giving it a talking head about his love of Pretzel Day, essentially. He goes, every day I wake up in a bed that's too small, drive my daughter to a school that's too expensive, to a job that I don't get paid enough at, or I get paid too little, but today is Pretzel Day, and I like Pretzel Day.
Stanley is that guy that we all know who has just this... The little
there's
simple pleasure,
that
simple pleasure kind of like soothes him.
Yep, absolutely.
Like, it could be a guy just getting home from work and cracking open a beer or something.
Yep, but could you imagine, like, watching this episode made me want Auntie Anne's cinnamon sticks.
You know, my girlfriend loves the cinnamon nuggets.
Yeah.
Yeah, she loves
them. That's what I mean.
Whenever we're in an airport, she's like, stop and get Auntie Anne's. It's all about it. It's like, oh,
but
shit.
But, like, listen, like, oh, this episode made me really want a soft pretzel. So then Phyllis comes downstairs and she's saying hello to her boyfriend.
Highlight of the episode.
Bob Vance of Vance Refrigeration. She gives him a little smooch. And meanwhile,
did you
Stanley
notice,
and,
before you go, did you notice the faces of the other people in line who aren't Michael and
no.
Sam? These people are the most miserable looking people.
Like, oh, they're like yawning and
well,
shit.
Well, there's this one woman who's like just scowling. And like I'm watching this, I'm like, is she scowling at Phyllis? Because like everybody else looks miserable too. Like,
huh.
I don't know.
I think
that,
it's just the long line of the pretzel.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was just them being like, everybody look angry because you got to wait. Or
yeah.
Like Phyllis is here. Like give her daggers.
No, I think it's more so the pretzel wait. But anyway, so Phyllis is like snuggling up with Bob Vance. And all you hear is, boo, back of the line, back of the line. And Phyllis is like, I'm only saying hi to Bob. And they're like, back of the line.
They're calling her out.
Yeah, they are.
No,
no cuts. So Bob Vance turns around and goes, what a pair of Marys. Which I've never heard before.
I could have sworn I heard our grandfather say that about a few baseball players.
Oh, maybe.
A bunch of Marys, a bunch
probably.
Of Sallys.
But Marys are cool.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Hey! So, anyway.
But Stanley and Michael high five.
Oh, like, yeah, they high five, and Stanley's like, it's pretzel day.
Yeah, this is real.
Like, no fucking bullshit on pretzel day, okay?
That's so great.
So then we flash back over to Ryan, and Ryan's just walking, hoping to find a building or a help.
Well, do you hear him, like, muttering?
Oh, yeah, he's just like, sure, Dwight, let's go out for a sales call.
It's,
let's do this. Take me to the middle of nowhere and fucking leave
it's
me.
It's the muttering you do when you're really angry.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You, like, don't want to just yell, so you're just like, motherfucker, you're going to do this. Like,
yep.
Just one
you
of those.
Just can't clean the floor, can you? Da-da-da-da-da. Yes, I know. JK.
A little real life.
JK. So then he finds a barn, and he starts knocking on the barn door. And then Dwight comes out of nowhere, and he goes, welcome to Schrute Farms, you crafty salesman. Wait. You have... Like, done.
We finally got to Schrute Farm.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. It took us three seasons. But he's like, you've overcome the second challenge, or you beat the second challenge. So, just as we're introduced to Schrute Farms, we're taken over to Connecticut, where Karen's trying to annoy Jim with her seat.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She's just squeak. Yep. And so Jim, in retaliation, starts singing Love Fool.
Yeah.
By the Cardigans.
Now, yeah, and he starts singing it to, like, get it in her ear as an earworm.
Yeah.
And then Andy starts singing
yep,
it, and he does a talking
style.
Head where he finishes it.
Yep.
And then he goes,
I don't care about anything but you.
And then he asks, I wonder what happened to those guys.
Oh, Kevin did some research. Yeah.
The Cardigans are a Swedish rock band forming Jönköping, Sweden.
Okay, we'll
in
go
1992
with that.
By guitarist Peter Svensson. Bassist Magnus Svensson, drummer Bengt Lagerberg, keyboardist Lars Olaf Johansson, and lead singer Nina Persson. They were active 1992 to the present, but they had a hiatus from 2006 to 2012. So they are still...
still relevant.
Yeah, so the song Love Fool, do you know... What major motion picture soundtrack that was featured on?
Oh, shit, I do. Fuck, what was it?
Take a gander. Think, come on. Late, like, mid to late 90s. It's, like, over-the-top theatrical. It's not Titanic.
I don't know.
Oh, Romeo and Juliet with Leo DiCaprio.
Oh, see, I was too young. Mom wouldn't let me watch that shit.
No, that was a garbage movie anyway. But
yeah, I didn't hear good things.
I do want to say that song
Wait,
is...
that was paired with William Shakespeare's Romeo
that song, yeah,
and Juliet.
That song, well, don't you remember that movie was like the modern twist on it? Like John Leguizamo had a gun and stuff?
Oh,
It was a shit movie.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like that song, I think is like quintessential 90s.
Oh my God, yeah.
Because it could fit in with like that...
I was going to say Not Another Teen Movie from the early 2000s.
Oh, was it? Well, it was probably in that
No,
film.
I mean, it might be, but that was going to be my guess.
It was also featured in Cruel Intentions.
Ah, oh,
yes.
Yes. Fucking love that movie.
Do you?
It's ridiculous.
I had no idea you were into that.
It's an absolute ridiculous movie.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, right?
Yeah, she fucks her stepbrother.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Ryan Phillippe.
I thought it was Freddie Prinze.
No.
Well, that's her real husband.
That's her real husband,
oh,
but they
okay.
were in, I Know What You Did Last Summer together or whatever.
And Scooby-Doo.
Yep, and Scooby-Doo, he was Fred.
What, anyway? So
anyway.
That's what happened in Stanford.
Yeah. So, then we get back to Scranton, and Pam comes down to the pretzel line. She's like, hey, Michael, while you're waiting in line, why don't you endorse some of these checks so that she doesn't have to put stood in pretzel line as his hourly duty?
Yeah.
And he's just like, no, no, you know what? This is great. Stand here while I go pee.
Yeah, and she takes a spot in line.
And she has to hold a spot in line, yeah. So then we see Dwight and Ryan back at Shroot Farms, and they just walk into the bar. Like, it's literally like a 3-second clip.
Oh, really?
That's what I have.
I have that he goes in and there's a chair with wheels.
But that's after Michael goes up. Like, they slide in, Michael going, finally getting up to the front of the pretzel line, asking for a sweet pretzel.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
Finding out there's 18 toppings, like, and he wants them all.
It's all disjointed.
That's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. Like, that's what I mean. Like, it's like a 3-second thing of them walking into the bar.
And then Michael
gets
his
pretzel. Then we go back, and Dwight and Ryan are in the bar. There's an old-timey wheelchair. That's actually what I have.
Yeah.
And somebody runs behind them. And, like, Ryan's like, what was that? And Dwight goes, pay no attention to the spirits that haunt this hallowed ground. And he goes, that's your cousin Moe's? And he goes, yes. And then you just see Dwight, like, talking next to the tractor. And he's like, Moe's is my cousin. And he lives here. He's my best friend. Unless Ryan wants to be.
Yeah, things go well with Ryan. Maybe
yeah. So then we go back, and Kelly is talking to Angela in the break room. She's concerned about Ryan, saying, like, how long does a sales call take? And Angela's just like, I'm sure Dwight will protect him. Don't worry.
She actually holds Kelly's hand.
Yeah, she, like, tries to comfort her.
It's very tender.
And Kelly's like, ew, Dwight's so weird. Like, and she's like, Dwight's not weird. She goes, Dwight's a total freak. And Angela screams, you're a freak! Yeah. And runs out of the break room.
It was odd seeing Angela actually have a moment of kinship, I guess, with somebody.
I guess.
Like, she was actually being nice.
Yeah, but I think it was because she thought that Dwight was going to turn Ryan
into one of them.
And she was going to have to accept Kelly. Like, she was going to be in charge of turning Kelly. So then we go back to the barn, and Dwight's got Ryan in this wheelchair, and he's asking him questions. He's like, what's the greatest danger facing Dunder Mifflin? And Ryan gives actual answers, like outsourcing, blah, 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 like biggest competitors. And Dwight goes, no, flash flooding. What was the cause of Robert Mifflin's
suicide?
Depression? No, he hated himself. And then the Dharma Initiative?
I know what that is, but I forget.
I have no idea what that was. So, and then that's when they cut over to Angela and Kelly. Yeah. But then what is Michael Scott's greatest fear? And he goes, loneliness, women. And Dwight goes, no, nothing. We would have also accepted snakes. So then Dwight, like, does this whole thing.
He puts on opera music.
Yeah, he puts on, like, wah, wah, wah. And he goes, now, to be a salesman, you must vanquish fear. Wrestle fear to the ground. And then Moe's comes out, and he has fear spelled out on his shirt in tape and red tape.
And he's wearing, like, thermal
undies. Yeah, thermal, like, long johns and a t-shirt.
And he, like, when you look at him, he has this Amish beard.
Yes, and this, like, Caesar haircut.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's very odd, dude.
Yes. And he's just like, hi, Ryan. And Ryan's just like, no, I'm not doing this. And he just starts to walk out, and Dwight's like, Ryan, it's okay, you don't have to fight Moe's. Just get into the coffin.
Yeah, he opens a coffin.
No, it's a fucking coffin.
Like the Undertaker's going to show up.
Right. So then Ryan starts walking away, and we see Dwight go after him.
Well, he also says before, he looks at Moe's and he goes, where are all the animals? Oh. Like, there's going to be animals involved in this sacrifice.
Oh, my God.
This,
it's like a
initiation.
Yeah. So then we go over to Stanford, and Andy's got the squeaky chair now.
Yeah, he sits down and he goes, ugh.
Yep. So then we go back, like, again, fucking useless. Why give us 3 minutes of Andy Bernard, like, sighing heavily and then go back?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Dwight is riding in his car, driving next to Ryan, who's planning on walking back to the office.
Yeah.
And Dwight's explaining to him, like, Moe sends his apologies. See, he sent you a basket of fresh eggs, some
fat
bacon.
Back bacon.
Yeah. and something he whittled, which is a fat woman.
It's a large woman who is well endowed, yes. We'll say.
Yes. And Ryan's just like, fuck this. Like, no. Mm-hmm. And Dwight explains to him that, you know, him and Jim didn't get along, and he wanted them to be a team. Mm-hmm. And Ryan's like, really? I wanted to go on a fucking sales call. That's all I wanted. Dwight, I don't want to be on a fucking team.
Then Dwight remembers, the sales
He's
call!
He's like, fuck! We actually have to go do that. Yeah. So we go back, and Michael is in his office listening to Rock and Roll by Gary Glitter.
Yeah.
Which most of you will know as, like, the baseball hype song. Like, yeah. Dun 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 dun. Wow. Wow, wow.
Keep going.
Wow, wow, wow.
Hey! But he's like dancing.
It gets you super pumped up, though.
Yeah, I guess.
It really does. Like, I just got pumped up.
Well, Kevin was getting pumped up.
Oh, yeah. Kevin was hitting pencils together like he was drumming. You see Michael inside during the hay parts. He's stepping up on a chair.
Dropping knees.
Yeah. Angela's pissed off. Shocker.
Yeah.
So basically, Michael's, like, on a sugar high.
He's on sugar
He's
high.
Calling clients, doing his Cosby impression. It's actually really fucking funny.
So once again, like a five-year-old who eats too much candy.
Exactly.
Like, who's, like, snorting pixie sticks, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. So then Dwight's giving Ryan actual tips on the way to the sales call. Like,
he's being mature,
yeah,
and, like, he knows
give,
what he's talking about.
Give answers that reflect positivity. Don't let them strong-arm the conversation. That's why you always do shitty on the cold calls. You say please too much. And Ryan's like, oh, shit. Like, he's giving me actual advice.
Yeah, he's taking notes.
Yeah. So we go back to the office quick. Michael is still on a sugar high. And he's, like, out in the office, and he's like, Sally Phillips, we're going to switch chairs. I'm going to change the entire layout, and everything, productivity is going to go up, blah, 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 blah. Like, complete sugar high.
Yeah, totally rambling at the mouth.
Yeah. So then we see Dwight and Ryan walking out of the sales call, and Ryan's like, I can't believe they didn't like me. And Dwight's like, yeah, I know. I mean, they didn't have to say it to your face.
But, it is keeping in, like, what we've talked about Ryan's character, about how he is pretty unlikable.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm glad they reflect that. Like,
exactly.
Like, this is what we're trying to get across. Yeah, like,
right?
People hate him.
So then, like, Dwight's like, listen, it's all the online sales. This is probably one of my favorite lines. And he goes, they're going to be so screwed once this whole internet fad is over. Like, he's so back home.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Backwoods. Farmer boy, backwoods, that's the one. And that he doesn't think the internet is taking off. But, so then Ryan gets pissed. He takes the eggs that Moe's gave him, and he starts launching them at the fucking building. And Dwight's like, yeah, Ryan! He starts taking them, and they're like, this is from Dunder Mifflin! Like, and then security guards come out, they run into the car, and they drive away.
Just like me when I was, like, 16 doing delinquent things.
Oh, God.
Run to the car, get the hell out of here! Don't act like you didn't.
I don't know what you're talking about. I was an angel.
Uh-huh.
So we go back to the office, and Pam answers a call. It's from Jan, wondering what Michael's doing. And we peer into his office, and he has now officially crashed from his sugar high.
Yeah, he's snoring.
He's passed out on his desk on top of what are those, like the Koosh.
Yes, the Koosh.
Those little stretchy rubber band things.
The things Rosie O'Donnell used to shoot from her desk on her talk show back
in the
day.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. So then we go, and Ryan and Dwight are drinking at a bar. I think Jaeger bombs, because they drop something into the beer. And Dwight, like, can't drink it. He gets, like, two chugs out of it. And Ryan fucking is chugging the whole thing. So Dwight's like, Tim. And then he realizes something. He goes, Ryan. And Ryan looked like he needed that fucking drink. He slams it down. He's just like, fuck my life. So we go back to the office, and everybody's, like, getting ready to leave. And Michael finally wakes up. And he's just like, oh, what time is it? And Pam's like, 5:20. And he goes, PM or AM? Like, he's been out that long. And Pam goes, PM, but Michael, these contracts came through. You know, this is a huge sale. Like, she's almost
she's trying to be his mom and get him to sign stuff.
Yeah. But,
because she knows that she's going to have to fill in those sheets for Jan.
Probably. But, it turns out that the Puddin' Pop, he's like, oh, yeah, Castelli Carpeting or whatever. And, that's why Michael is doing his Cosby impressions all day.
Cosman.
Exactly. But Pam, then Michael's like, all right, bye. Like, I don't know. He just saunters off.
Yeah, he just groggily leaves with everyone else.
Yeah, and the phone rings. So Pam picks it up, and it's Jim. He's looking for Kevin because they have a fantasy football thing going on, which mm-hmm. I don't do. Kevin does it with my brother.
This was a bad week. This was a very bad week. Well, I don't know what you
I
want
lost the family pool, so. Shocker.
Stop picking shitty teams.
Shocker.
Like the, well, I can't
say. Hey, the Buccaneers won
this Bucks
week.
Won. The Bucks beat the Panthers.
Yeah, fucker. So, Pam and Jim start chit-chatting, and Pam explains about the log that she has to do for Michael. And then, like,
it's awkward.
Yeah, it's a little awkward. And then she's like, what time is it there? He's in fucking Connecticut, like 2 hours away. And he's like, it's the same time zone, mm-hmm. Pam. Like, how far did you think I was? And she's like, it feels pretty far. So then they start chatting and flirting. And she's talking about this movie that she rented, apparently 28 days. And
that's
28 days later.
The zombie movie is 28 days later, isn't it?
Yeah. But that's, I didn't know about a movie with Sandra Bullock called 28 Days.
I'm not a Sandra Bullock fan. I'm sorry.
But they bring up Blockbuster. And then, like, it seems like they're chatting for, like, at least, like, 10 to 20 minutes.
For some reason, I felt like they time-lapsed it.
Yeah, when like, I was they watching went it. Through a lot of like, they were talking about our new apartment, this, that, the other thing. And then Ryan and Dwight finally show back up. And Ryan looks like fucking
haggard.
Trash.
Yeah.
Straight trash, bro. And Pam's like, she puts her hand over the phone. She goes, oh my God, Ryan, are you okay? And Dwight, like, does like a rock on sign
rock
or something.
Man.
And so Pam takes her hand off, and Jim's still talking to her about her apartment this whole time. Uh-huh. And she's like, bye, guys. Or bye. Mm-hmm. And Jim thinks it's her saying bye to him. So he says, bye, I gotta go. And Pam's like, oh, okay. Mm. Really awkwardly, like, they both seem dissatisfied with the end of the call. But And then we get a nice little flash of Stanley saying, 364 days till next pretzel day.
He can't wait for them pretzels.
That's all he lives for at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of the episode.
That's it. And oh my God, I hated this episode. And you know what? I rated it, and now I'm going to take that rating back. I'm going to this is a 2. I hated this. Nothing. This was a series of vignettes. The only thing that I even want to talk about is, like, the Dwight Temp. Because, like, Pretzel Day is hilarious and that, but then you can't talk about it.
Yeah.
But, like, the Dwight Temp stuff, maybe there's, like, 2 things to talk about. But, like, I don't give a fuck. This episode sucked. It never got out of first gear.
Originally, when I watched it, I was like, okay, I laughed at a decent amount of that. Like, I really did. But then, now that I'm, like, rehashing it, and I'm literally going, then we flash here, then we go here, then we go here.
Yeah, my attention was, like, all over.
I gave it a pretty decent score. I gave it a 3.8. But now after, honestly, sitting down and talking about it, I overshot this like
I think
a motherfucker.
I'm glad you... Yeah.
I'm going to go to a 3
even. This sucked. And I hate being negative and shit, but, like, I just saw no redeeming value in this. Like, were there some great sight gags and stuff, like Pretzel Day?
Pretzel Day was awesome. The whole Stanford thing, I could do without. That
sucked.
That was stupid.
It was stupid. And even the cold open was stupid. Like,
was,
just riddles. It was like,
it was
you couldn't come up with something better than that. Have Creed tell, like, a story. I don't know.
It was whatever.
Yeah.
But I did like, we finally saw Shrewd Farms. We finally met Cousin Mose.
Was he mentioned previously?
I don't think
the temp knew who he was, but I have.
I don't recall him being mentioned before.
Yeah,
but you know what? Like, I think that that gives such a good idea of why Dwight is as weird as he is. Like, look at his family.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean?
They're, like, hill people.
Yeah, but so I really did enjoy that, which is what I gave it a 3 for.
Okay.
But it was so disjointed. It was so difficult.
Like I said, nothing ever got going because they were so fractured with your attention going to different things.
And I mean, like, there was, if you think about it, there was like 4 plot lines. Pam having to watch Michael doing that. Jim and Karen doing whatever the fuck they do in Connecticut. Dwight and the temp. Like, Pretzel Day. Like, there's too much in this episode. Yeah. That they didn't give any one thing enough attention.
Yeah, it was just, like, it was, they had 4 ideas, and they were all half of an idea.
Yeah.
Like, the execution was just blah. And, like, the only thing, like it was cool hearing Dwight, actually open up about something with the temp when he's, like, You know, the past mm-hmm. really sucked. I hated Jim's guts. He was a dick to me. And I don't want that to happen with you.
Yeah.
And, like, and of course, like, the cynic in me is like, well, we've gotten a taste of Dwight these past few weeks where he's, like, kind of backstabbing.
Yeah.
Is he, because he knows Michael loves Ryan and, like, thinks he's the greatest. Does he just, you know, keep your enemies close?
I see what you're saying.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer type of deal?
Ryan was the hottest in the office. That's right. Dummies.
So, like, part of me is like, well, that, you know, maybe that's something that'll be built upon.
Yeah.
Because in the next episode, there is a moment where Dwight, like, puts him in a headlock. He's like, hey, what's going on, buddy? Yeah. Like a big brother. But, I don't know. Like,
this one left much to be desired.
I don't even know what to talk about. Like, because it's the
there's no, like, the you don't even Stanford, have your questions.
Maybe. No, I didn't, cause, and trust me, I racked my brain, because I'm like, well, the stuff in Stanford is the same as last week.
It literally is.
Jim and
is.
Karen flirting over something stupid going on in the office.
Yeah.
And then, like, there was nothing with, I mean, aside from Stanley at pretzel day, there was nothing else with anybody else in the office. I mean,
yeah.
Angela and Kelly had their, like, 2 second
thing.
Yeah,
but we didn't see Meredith, we didn't see Creed.
Like, no Kevin.
No Kevin.
Oscar still.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Well, Oscar's on his European
I know,
vacation.
But no Toby.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing. It was just, I don't know. I was bored to tears. Like, I laughed a few times. Like, the pretzel day stuff was funny. But, like, and
I
like,
mean, Stanley does
the stuff in the
pretzels.
Barn. The stuff in the barn was funny.
Yeah.
But, like, other than that, it's just like, okay, well, this is a run of the mill episode. If not worse, it was probably worse than a run of the mill episode. I just didn't enjoy it.
Yeah. Like,
I don't, like I said, I don't want to be the bearer of being a douche and bad
no,
mood.
No, but this
I'm not
is
even
how
in a bad
feeling,
mood.
Man.
It's just, yeah, it's just I watched it twice because I'm like, maybe I missed some stuff. So I kept a keener eye.
Yeah.
Nah, nothing. It's just it's a mailed in episode, I feel like.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
like you said though, like they had 4 ideas, 2 of which could be really, really good. Like Pam watching Michael all day, that could be awesome.
Yeah.
Dwight fucking hazing the shit out of Ryan on his farm. Could be amazing.
Yeah, the execution is just half-assed.
And have pretzel day sprinkled on there like they did.
Well, like, that, the pretzel day could have been a much more, there was an episode last season. Remember in, like, the one storyline was everybody just changing the thermometer? They'd go back to that. If they did that with pretzel day and, like, explored the other shit deeper, that would have been fine. Mm. And, like, I'm over the Stanford stuff. Like, that stuff has bored me to tears.
I'd rather see, like, more involvement with the other Stanford people. Like, just seeing that one line with Josh on the phone in the background. Come on, dude.
Well, yeah, another thing that's bothering me is, I think, okay, so the Jim Pam thing is still, yeah, obviously it's going to be a story.
It's going to be a thing, dude.
But, like, that was, like, 4 minutes at the end of just them talking blandly on the phone about their lives. Like, not
I wouldn't
not
say it was that long.
Oh, how's your kitchen? Oh, how many kitchens do you have in your apartment?
Yeah, but like, you have to think about it, though, that they haven't talked in how long. Like, literally, they haven't talked since he went to Stanford. So,
they had
to show, like, the awkwardness, but they also had to show how they can get into a conversation about anything together.
Then they should have, I don't know what you cut out of this episode, because the only funny stuff was the pretzel day stuff.
The initiation stuff was funny.
The stuff at the barn was funny. But like,
where are all the animals?
I know you can't cut the Stanford stuff because Jim is a major character and we want to show what he's doing. I don't know. Like, the Michael stuff,
they really could have made it so much better, like, with the Mike, like, Pam having to track Michael.
Maybe just save that for another episode and,
yeah,
like,
that's
maybe
what I mean.
Just don't write Michael deep into the show. Just have him be there and, like, have him get a line or two off, but, like, don't make him the focal point, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just.
Much to be desired with this
episode. I feel like the execution was just shit on this episode, but I digress. Do you want to move on to the next one?
Yes, please.
Okay, the next episode.
We beat this fucking horse.
Season 3, Episode 6, Diwali. And we will cover that right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on 2 great feeds. On the Place to be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceMination.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceMination.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceMination.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome back to the part of the show. This is the halftime intermission where we put ourselves over as well as our partners at PlaceToBeNation.com. And this week, Mare Bear is going to be doing the read here for what's going on over at the Place to Be Pop feed and the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. So, Bear, take it away.
All right. Well, first off, on the Place to Be Nation Pop feed, check out our weekly shows. The Hard Traveling Fanboys welcome WWE SmackDown referee Jason Ayers.
Ayers.
Jesus Christ.
That didn't take long.
Right. For a new series called Secret Origins. Jason delves into the similarities between comic books and wrestling, and he explains the stories and characters that have made him a lifelong comics fan. On their next episode, the HTF...
Hard Traveling Fanboys
counted down the top animated DC movies. Flash fact, Russell and Todd kick off Flash Month on DC4U with guest Hard Traveling Fanboy Greg Phillips and the biggest Wally West fan ever, Ben Morse. They then talk all about the Scarlet Speedster's best stories, writers, and artists, as well as his multiple appearances in TV and movies. A brand new show joins the pop feed as siblings Kevin and Mary.
You're going to read
hosts the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast. Well, we are putting ourselves over.
Yeah, are we not? We might as well, right?
I mean, on episode 15, they bring you The Office, season 3, episodes 1 and 2. We've got tons of amazing content filling up the feed every month. Check it out. Jennifer Smith invites Nate Milton to watch Jordan Peele's Get Out on the 13th episode of Freak Out Drive-In. On a new Looking Forward, Looking Back, host Andy Atherton is joined by Jennifer Smith, Tim Capel, and Scott Carusco.
Piscolo.
Maybe you should just do
You're
this.
Getting there. You're getting there. Yeah, you're doing well. You're really doing a lot better than me.
To preview the upcoming fall and winter movie releases. On this episode of Marvel Age, our favorite Sarcastic Four take a concentrated look at roughly one-third of the most significant of Marvel's output throughout 1972, including horror titles.
Horror titles.
As a small-screen companion to Pop Goes to the Movies, enjoy the premiere episode of Pop Goes to the Couch, which will spotlight a current series from the world of television or streaming media. On the first edition, the third season of Glow takes the stage with your hosts JT Rosero, Jennifer Smith, and Tim Capel. Jenny and Miranda run down a comprehensive list of new and returning TV shows for the fall and the latest Geek and Sassy. They also announce a huge giveaway contest, so be sure to listen and stay tuned to their social media for details.
Did you say CSE? Like you're Bobby's mom from Bobby's World? CSE!
CSE.
That was Midwestern. That was awesome.
Roger and D'Amato.
D'Amato.
God damn it! Sorry, guys. You can butcher my name.
You know, she's not fucking anything up but the names. So, I mean, she's doing well.
Preview the forthcoming NFL season on the latest PTBN Sports Poddits this week in the NFL Week 1. JT joins Tim and Jenny to walk weight loss.
Talk
weight loss, religion, and politics on the latest Can't Miss Talk and Pop. The Greatest Songs of the 80s tournament continues, and now we're down to 64 songs.
Well, hold on. There was some today that I saw that I was looking at. And Survivor, Eye of the Tiger, was losing they were losing to one I don't think they should have been losing to, actually.
Really?
And that really kind of got me mad. And there was also from The Breakfast Club, Don't You Forget About Me. That was running today. Oh, there it is. You got it.
It's versus Every Rose Has Its Thorn. And it is winning. Don't You Forget About Me is winning.
Good.
Ghostbusters versus Maneater. Dude, that is the hardest fucking one I have ever goddamn seen.
I would go with Ghostbusters only because Maneater is like not the best Hall & Oates.
I do love Maneater though, but it is losing pretty drastically. And Come On Eileen is going to
jump.
Not winning versus jump.
That's huge. Come on, Eileen is an 80s staple.
Seriously. Another One Bites the Dust is winning over Wanted, Dead or Alive.
I actually would take Wanted, Dead or Alive over that.
Really?
Yeah. Another One Bites the Dust is like, maybe I've just heard it too many times.
Maybe.
And I feel like Vanilla Ice's version is better.
Oh my God. So anyway, guys, you heard us talk about our votes for this week. But there will be four polls a day posted for round four. You can get in on the action on Facebook by searching PTBN's Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament and liking the page, so be sure to weigh in. Now, over at the PTBN Wrestling feed, on our newest edition of the Place to Be podcast, Scott and JT welcome back PTB podcast legend Kelly Nelson to look at the final MSG house show of the 1980s.
Kelly's Canadian.
Really?
Yeah, just going to throw that out there.
Zombor. Sorry, guys. That's an inside joke. MST3K fans, you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, No Holds Bar is back. JT and Aaron are talking AEW, NXT.
NXS would be in the 80s tournament. That's a totally different thing.
That was a great song, though, too.
What one?
NXT UK, the Wednesday Night Wars, the Neville Brothers, and then play a game of Pulled and Pushed.
What NXS song are you talking about?
Oh, God damn it.
I put you on the spot, huh?
You did, but I know what it is. It's, he, like, basically whispers the whole time, like,
Like Prince? Like, what are you talking about?
I need you tonight.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah. So, anyway, let's see, where were we? Oh, Peter Winston and Steve Bennett wrap up their series breaking down their favorite all-time sports seasons on the Adams Division.
1996 for baseball, go Yankees. 1998 for the Broncos.
You weren't even born yet.
96?
In 86.
I said 96.
Oh, I thought you said 96.
See, you gotta... listen to you, you're fucking everything up. 98 Broncos, Elway walks off.
You're making me feel bad.
No, you're doing great, actually.
On episode 22 of Row 1, Seat 1, Ben is joined by Cabana Man Dan. I like that name.
That's awesome.
To talk about his experience over a decade in the wrestling business plus more. Greg, Jenny, and Tim are back talking WCW and taking a deep dive on the ravishing one, Rick Rude.
That's right.
Now, every Wednesday on PlaceToBeNation.com, we've got the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web in Glenn's Weekly Walk. For college football fans, Scott, Criscolo, and Logan Crossland have their weekly campus hot takes, looking back at the previous week and looking ahead to the biggest matchups. Now, catch their weekly column every Tuesday afternoon. And if you're doing some online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage. It takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34@proboards.com for more information on joining our GWWE PPV and TV Match Ever project. Get in the conversation today and start researching your list. Sorry, guys. That was too many letters at the end there.
Ladies and gentlemen, she did it.
I haven't done a speech like that since college,
kids. I think you need a drink. That's hilarious. Oh, my God. That was
a good one, guys. But anyway, if you want to reach out to just us, you can reach out to us on Twitter at brosispodcast or through gmail.com at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
We will be happy to answer any questions, concerns, suggestions, or comments that you may have for us.
Tell me how shitty I am at pronouncing people's fucking names. Well, it's the worst.
If you don't know them, if you're just reading them off a page, you know, like you don't know if it's a soft O.
Exactly. I don't know if it's a long E or a short E.
Big E. Ah,
Big E.
Yeah, but so guys, get in touch with us. If you want to send in feedback, we'll be happy to read it on the air.
Just and like Mike's last
just
week.
Like Mike's, like Frankie in the past, like Moshan. And we got another one. Oh, Billy.
Billy.
You know, we've had a few people email in, so feel free to do that and follow us on Twitter, because we like to post pictures.
We do.
Which I think you're going to do soon, right?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Yes. Well, I needed to wait for
I know.
Our shit to go out, man.
So everybody, if you want to be part of the conversation, you know, follow us, follow Place to Be Nation, and get involved. We'd be happy to hear from you.
Absolutely.
So now that we got all that out of the way, we are going to move to The Office Season 3, Episode 6, Diwali. Now, before I start, what were your first impressions of this?
I thought it was funny. I laughed a lot during this episode. There were some sad parts, but I did laugh.
I laughed a lot more than I did.
Oh my god!
At the previous one, I laughed a lot more, but I still felt an empty, hollow feeling afterwards in some regards.
Aww.
But anyway, we'll jump into it now, and it opens up. Kelly is dressing Ryan in like traditional Indian garb for a man. There's a name.
Yes.
I forgot to write the name.
I do have the name. It is called Akartha.
Akartha. Thank you.
Yes.
And Michael comes out and, like, mocks him, like, nice dress.
Yeah.
And he does a talking head explaining that it's Diwali. Kelly has invited everyone at the office to celebrate. And he starts mocking Kelly by saying, according to Kelly, it's, oh, my God, it's so good, blah, blah, blah. Everybody loves it. It's so much fun. And then he just, like, mocks it. He just says, basically, there's a lot of gods with unpronounceable names, and 20 minutes later, you find out it's Hindu Halloween.
Oh, my God.
It's so disparaging.
That's, like, literally what he says, though.
It's hilarious.
It's terrible.
But then, like, Kelly and Pam tell Ryan, like, they compliment him, like, that he looks handsome. And Michael, like, clams up, and he just goes, why didn't you get me one? So we have the title sequence, and we open up. The party planning committee is, like, trying to plan transportation so everybody can go to the Diwali mm-hmm. celebration.
Which I just love that Bob Vance has a fucking Yukon.
Of course he does.
He's
Why
a
wouldn't
single
he?
Man. Like, he has no kids. He's moving, not married. He's got a fucking Yukon. He's a mobster.
He's moving refrigerators, man.
He's not doing it.
But the Pam says she might not go. And Kelly asks her why. And, you know, she thought they were great friends and everything. And Pam just says that she's tired. But it's not a good excuse.
No.
So she cops to not having a date. Like, oh, I don't have anybody to go with. And then Kelly, Dwight's there. And Dwight's, when Pam says that she's feeling tired, Dwight goes, you might have mono.
Yeah, like, what the fuck did that come from?
Just like the Jets quarterback, Sam Darnold. You hear about him?
No.
He's missing like 7 weeks because he has mono.
Oh my God.
I just want to drop that because our father is a hardcore Jets fan.
And he's like all he disappointed. Did say that on the other day when we were doing our picks. He's like, goddamn, blah, 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 the savior
oh, he
of the
loves,
Jets.
He loves Sam Darnold. It's really bizarre.
Yeah.
But so Dwight says that. And then Kelly's like, well, you're single, Dwight. Why don't you go with Pam? And Dwight doesn't want to blow his cover with Angela. So, of course, he's like all over the top. He's like, of course I'm single and ready to mingle. And like you see Angela in the background, like over the cubicle, like eavesdropping.
Right.
So now we find ourselves in the break room, where Kevin's like, who's going to this Indian thing tonight? And Roy is there. And Roy's like, well, who's going?
Oh, God.
And Kevin, his voice cracks.
He's like, you mean, is Pam going to be there?
Yeah. He's so, like, I don't know, his voice cracks and shit. It's hilarious. And Roy's just like, oh, yeah. And then Angela's sitting there, and she just says, well, those people eat monkey brains.
Oh, my God.
Which leads me to believe that her only kind of frame of reference for Indian culture is Indiana Jones and the Temple of
Doom. Right?
Like, chilled monkey brains when they eat that at the table. Like, that's all I could think of. So that's what Angela says. And Michael's in there, and he gets, like, all defending. He starts defending Indian culture. And if they want to eat monkey brains, they can.
God.
And he kind of says, basically, we should celebrate diversity.
Yeah.
And Stanley's sitting there, and of course Michael wants to, you know, show off his bona fides with it, and he's just like, well, Stanley, if you want to celebrate Kwanzaa, I'm all with you. And of course Stanley does not celebrate
he's like,
Kwanzaa.
I don't celebrate Kwanzaa. What the fuck?
Michael
are you
just assuming
about?
Things.
My God.
And then we do a talking head with Michael. He says, I love the people here, but they can be very ignorant of other cultures. I don't want to be embarrassed in front of Carol.
My girlfriend.
Yeah. Who I might have sex with tonight.
Right? Like, what the fuck?
So, but it's just funny hearing Michael say that because going back to Diversity Day, the second episode of the series where he's just completely ignorant of other cultures, you know?
Yeah.
So, we find ourselves in the conference room where Mike has assembled the crew, and he wants Kelly to talk about Diwali. And she describes it in her own way, basically saying, like, oh, the clothes are rad, and there's dancing, and refreshment, like, food, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Michael is actually, like, I gotta hand it to him here, he's kind of curious. He goes, well, can you tell us anything about the origins or the history? And she has no idea. She just says, well, it's really old. That's when Angela pipes up, asking her how many gods they have.
Oh, my God.
And Michael has adorned the walls of the conference room with visual images of Hindu religion,
yes,
like gods and stuff like that. And she goes, well, which god is the busty blue one? And it's,
oh my God,
it's this, I'm going to say a Hindu god, I'm assuming.
It is a Hindu god with like eight arms.
Yeah, and large breasts.
Yes.
Which are censored, right? They're pixelated.
They are pixelated out, yes.
And Kevin just says out loud, that looks like Pam from the neck down. And then somebody else chimes in.
It was Dwight. Is that who? Oh, she wishes.
But like Pam's face, she just takes it.
But Pam is sitting right behind Kelly. It's like they talk about her like she's not even there.
That's what I mean, though. But she doesn't like speak up and go, guys, please don't.
Like, why are you talking about my tits?
And Toby just lets it go. Toby's sitting there.
Again, yep.
So, but like Kelly can't talk about Diwali and the history. She doesn't know. So Dwight stands up and starts giving hit like the history of it. He knows about the different gods and like it signifies good versus evil. And Michael tells him to sit down and shut up because this isn't Lord of the Rings.
Oh my God!
Which
I
makes
know.
Me it warms my heart because how many times have we shit on Lord
so
of the Rings?
So many times.
I mean, I'm sorry to all the Tolkien fans out there, but like
we're nerds, but not that kind of.
We're not that kind of nerd. I mean, those guys, they're like the lowest rung, you know.
Please subscribe and follow us.
Yeah, please subscribe to the podcast. We love you. No, we go back. We go to Stamford for the first time this episode, mm-hmm. and Jim is arriving at the office sweaty and
disgusting.
Yeah,
sweaty.
He's like wet.
Yeah,
and he's pushing. He has a bike and
with a basket on it.
Yeah, and he's talking about how he started riding his bike to work because Josh does it.
Josh does it, and he lives way farther away than Jim
and
does.
And they showed Josh arriving at the office, and he looks like every motherfucking asshole who thinks they own the roads. Like, he's got the spandex and the banana smuggler shorts.
Oh my God.
And, like, he's
got the gloves.
Yeah, and he's got the bike slung up and everything. Like,
yep.
Every motherfucker who won't move over and thinks they own the road, like, those cyclists, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, Jim's doing it because of Josh, which kind of lends credence to what Michael said at the convention. You know what I mean? Like, you just like Josh more. You want to be like him.
Yeah.
Because why else would he do it? Like, I mean, he gives excuses like, you know, it saves gas and it helps the environment. Yeah.
Bullshit.
Now we go back to the conference room where Mike says that, you know, people tell Kelly she's one in a million, that she's special. And she's like beaming. She's like, oh, Michael, thank you. And he goes, but that's not true because there's billions of people just like Kelly in the world.
Oh, God.
And then her face changes. And he goes on. He has a slideshow of famous Indians. And he goes through. There's like a guy who, I don't know, cured polio or something.
It's a doctor.
Like, I mean, I'm not disparaging.
No,
just,
no.
I didn't write down
the
name.
I didn't note the name.
Because I was too busy noting the second person on the slide.
Exactly.
Apu from The Simpsons.
My God.
And of course, Kevin's like, yeah.
Oh my God. And then
there's a pic of M. Night Shyamalan.
Michael can't pronounce it.
And I'm going to divert here. You remember Norm Macdonald has a show on Netflix,
yes,
the talk show? M. Night Shyamalan.
I think I watched that episode with you.
It was awesome. He was like, Norm is playing off it, and they're talking about like film history. Like, Norm Macdonald is one of the most genius comedians in the world, and like the way Shyamalan plays with him, like, it's really good stuff. I just want to throw that out there. Watch that; it's really good stuff. But
free promotion.
But anyway, so then Mike goes to the next slide, and it's a picture of him and Carol. He's kissing her,
and she's like, almost like disgusted, like. She's in the middle of saying, like, what the
hell?
Yeah,
both of their eyes are open.
Yeah, and but Michael's are, like, wide open. Like, he's making sure the camera's working.
Yeah, and hers are, like, looking at the camera, like, what did he say? Why is there a camera?
Yeah.
It's creepy.
It's like when you walk into a room and you go, why is that little red light on? No, I'm kidding, guys.
Not that she knows about them. Not like, well, Hulk Hogan, that didn't happen to him.
Oh, God. We're not talking about Hulk Hogan's sex tape.
I'm not talking about the tape.
No.
I'm going to talk about when he went to court. And he had to testify on the stand that Hulk Hogan has a 10-inch penis.
Oh,
but
my
Terry,
God.
But Terry Bollea does not.
Dear God.
And he shut Gawker down. He won. That's
really?
Oh, yeah. He went on the stand and testified that Hulk Hogan and Terry Bollea are two totally different people. And he won. It was awesome.
Jesus
Christ. Gawker, that's why Gawker doesn't exist anymore. He shut them down.
Jesus Christ.
So anyway, we go back to Stanford, and a fat guy, I don't know how else to describe him, he's a very large man.
He's a large man with a goatee and glasses.
Asking Karen to get the chips that got stuck in the vending machine.
I mean, your skinny little arms.
Yeah. So she goes, and Andy turns around to Tuna, Jim,
yep.
And he starts talking about the sexual tension between him and Karen, and that they're like the Sam and Diane of the office.
And he's like, cheers. You know what I mean?
He's just like Michael. He has to get his reference in there. Like, you know what I'm talking about.
Yo,
right?
He is so way more like Frasier.
No. What?
From Cheers?
Oh, no. I thought you meant Andy. I was like, Andy is not fucking Frasier Crane. How dare you? He's not cultured. I am
wounded.
He went
to Cornell.
What?
He went to Cornell.
Yeah, but Frasier did. Frasier went to Harvard.
That's true.
Or did he? Yeah, he went to an Ivy League. I think it was Harvard.
Was it Yale or Harvard?
Who cares? It's better than Cornell. Fuck Cornell.
Alrighty then.
So we go back to the conference room. And I gotta say, already, like, even though it's going to Stanford and Scranton, the focus is much better and much crisper this
because
episode.
They're only
juggling two.
Yeah.
And they're given each time, like, each one has more focus. They're able to develop it much better.
Exactly.
And I appreciate that. So back in Scranton, Michael is handing out the Kama Sutra,
oh my God,
as an example of Indian culture. Creed knows the positions.
Something monkey.
The unification of the monkey.
Yes,
or something. Yeah. And of course, Meredith's like, yeah.
And Kevin's like, that's what it's called.
And Kevin's like, this is the best ever. Like, Phyllis is into it. Like, everybody seems kind of okay with it except for
Angela.
And she's offended, and Toby kind of agrees.
But she says, like, listen, whatever Kelly wants to do in her own home is hers, but I shouldn't be subjected to it. Like, Kelly's, like, fucking doing the Kama Sutra.
And she's handing it out to everybody.
My God.
So Toby, like, starts collecting
them.
He's
like, no, you know what, you're right. This isn't right.
Toby ruining everybody's fun.
God, he finally decides to be an HR rep.
Yeah, he let the whole Pam thing slide.
Right.
So now we go to the sales staff in Stanford, and we find out that they have to stay late for mumbo jumbo.
To consolidate
credit
consolidate. It was so boring. I didn't even.
Yeah, like even Jim's like, it's
sales
really boring.
Slips or
yeah,
something.
I'm like, I don't fucking care. And so Chip, or not Chip. Well, his name is Chip. Josh leaves with his bike, like a schmuck. And Andy turns around with shot glasses and booze, like, we're partying tonight.
Yeah.
It's
oh,
just
Jaeger.
We have some bad experiences.
No, I hate black licorice.
Well, I hate black licorice, too.
It tastes like black licorice.
See, maybe I've just, when I've drank it, I've been too drunk to notice.
You have been. Like black licorice.
You ever get that drunk where you'll drink anything and it all tastes good?
Yeah.
It's the best.
I drank a Natty Light that way.
Oh.
Yeah.
I
Natty Light is like
I drink
the Penn State underage or beer of choice.
Well, also out in Penn State, we're grads of Penn State, everybody.
Yeah,
so,
PSU.
Ham? Do you remember ham beer?
No.
No? Oh God!
Apparently, I didn't get down to that level.
That shit was brutal. Oh, anyway, so they're doing that. They're drinking at the office while they're doing these reports or whatever. And we go back, and the office workers are walking into the Diwali celebration.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big hall, lots
of
people.
Yeah, it's like a gym or something, like a high school gym or something.
Auditorium, it has a stage.
Like an auditorium, yeah.
A cafe gymatorium.
There you go.
And none of them are wearing shoes. That's part of the custom.
Mm-hmm.
And Angela is mocking Kevin's feet because he has a disease. And we see Michael walk in with Carol, his girlfriend. And what are they wearing?
Carol's dressed as a cheerleader, and Michael has his paper mache head on his shoulder.
Because he really meant
that it was Halloween.
Hindu Halloween. And she's, like, embarrassed.
She's like, oh my God, Michael, you said this was a costume party.
She has pom-poms and everything.
Oh, yeah. Her hair is up like a cheerleader,
it's
everything.
Hilarious. She is kind of a fetching woman.
She's
yeah.
a fox.
I mean, that's
his
real
life.
Yeah, real wife. Yeah. So, I mean, he's batting. He outkicked his coverage, as they say.
Damn straight he did.
No, everyone is, like, eating the food, and Angela's bitchy because she...
Oh, yeah. She's like, do you have anything vegetarian? The poor guy goes, it's all vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, fine, I'll just have the bread. Not with your hand. He touches it with his hand. She's just a bitch.
I love naan. Oh, it's so good.
Naan is really
it's
good.
It's awesome. And so Michael is like sitting with Carol and this older woman who looks like Mother Teresa.
She does.
Didn't she? And so Michael's he thinks it's a s'more and it's a samosa. And he looks like a complete asshole. He's like spitting it out, like scraping
his
tongue.
And she's like, is it too spicy? He goes, no, that's the worst tasting s'more I've ever had in my life.
Samosas are fun. I like
samosas are just deep fried with like dough pouches that have like onions. Yeah, they could have meat. They could have veggies. Yeah,
they're delicious.
Yeah.
So then we show Ryan at a table. He's sitting by himself in his Kartha, you said?
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly's sisters are giggling at him. Yeah, they're younger. They're, like, what, 12, 14, 16? Yeah, like, in that range. Yeah. They're all younger than her.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, like, giggling, and they're speaking so he can't understand them. And they say the name Zach.
Yes!
Yes!
And Kelly's like, oh, my God, you're all so annoying. Get away from him. And he, like, wants to go back and punch him in the face. He's like, yeah. I heard Zach Braff. I've heard Zach Braff.
Oh, did he say Braff?
Yes!
That's hilarious. Oh, I didn't pick up Braff.
He killed me.
God. Oh, that was... I love Zach Braff. They were a competitor, right? Well, not competitor. They're on the same team, but...
Yeah.
All right.
I fucking love Zach Braff, but
Scrubs, man.
Hearing him go, I heard Zach Braff! I heard it!
Now, Pam shows up, and she gets her hand stamped at the front, and she's dressed down. She's wearing what, like a sweater,
a t-shirt, jeans, and jeans? Yeah.
And she goes in, and they do a talking head with her, where she said, well, I'm kind of dressed down, but at least I'm not dressed like a slutty cheerleader.
What does that mean?
Right? She said that right to the camera. It's not like she's been drinking. She wanted to be a bitch about
it. And Carol's really nice.
Yeah, she hasn't done anything
Carol's
to these
not
people.
A mean person at all.
Yeah. Now, Dwight shows up in full garb, looking like a
he
boss.
He has a burgundy Kartha.
Yeah, and he has like the neck accoutrement. And Michael's dancing, and Carol is watching, and... She makes a face. Do you recall the face that she made? Because I was trying to pinpoint, because they made a point to, like, showcase
zoom
it.
In on her, yeah.
And she kind of smiles and tilts her head.
Yeah, like...
Because Michael's out there with all these Indians.
Like, yeah, but it's almost like a, oh, he really is such a good guy.
What, do you know what this dance reminded me of? I don't know if you've ever seen it. It was, like, in the mid-2000s, George Bush, the president, went to Africa for, like, AIDS relief, like, because we were giving them... money for AIDS research or something like that over in Africa, and he's dancing with like one of the tribes.
Oh my God.
And did you ever see that video?
No.
That's what Michael doing this reminded me of. A white guy going into
way
like,
out of place.
Way out of place and like acting a little too what's the
over-excited.
Word? Over the top. Like just like mellow out because he's like trying
I don't know what the dance moves are, but I'm just gonna make extreme movements.
Yeah, he's flailing his limbs around. Everybody seems to be enjoying it, but he looks like an ass because he's wearing a suit too.
Yeah,
like, he's not wearing like the other guys
with
like,
Velcro on the shoulder.
Yeah, and like because like Dwight and Ryan, they're wearing like their the Karthas and that, but like Michael just looks bizarre. It looks like Mr. Rogers, like just doing something bizarre.
Mr. Rogers at least would have researched the dance.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers would have tried.
He would have.
I mean, Michael's trying, but he just looks... It's a fun visual. It's a fun visual. Now, we see Kelly with her parents, and she's arguing with them because they're shit-talking Ryan.
Yeah, they're like, he is a temp worker who makes no money.
Yeah.
This guy is a doctor. He makes lots of money. I don't want to get a doctor! Yeah.
And there's this Indian guy. Did they say a name?
I don't remember.
And he's just standing like 10 feet behind waving. Like he knows what they're talking about. He's like, hey.
Like, oh, I would like to marry her. Okay.
So awesome. Then we go back to Stanford and they're eating takeout and they're taking shots.
Yeah, they are.
But Karen dumps hers in the garbage.
Yep.
Because she doesn't want to get wasted. They have a job to do.
Oh, I don't want to drink the Jaeger anyway.
Well, that's your opinion, man.
I think I wanted to get wasted.
Back to Diwali. Roy arrives.
And he's looking spiffy as
good, man. He comes in, he's wearing like a casual suit.
He's wearing like a sports jacket with a white button down.
Yeah, he looks
great. No tie, but like, he looks like he's ready for a date. Yeah. Like, he looks like he's trying, man.
And he looks out on the dance floor and he sees Pam dancing with the doctor. Is that the dance she's
doing?
But she's dancing with the doctor to Beyonce's Crazy in Love.
Yeah.
And looks like she's having a good time. And, like, Roy sees it, and he just kind of gulps and walks out.
Yeah. He didn't even try, man.
Felt so bad for him. He must have known that other guy was a doctor.
God.
Now, we go to Michael, who is talking to Kelly's parents.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents explain that they only met once before their marriage. So it was, like, an arranged kind of thing. It's implied.
Yeah.
And
but they've been together for 30 years.
Yeah, they've lasted. And, you know, they ask him if he's married to the cheerleader.
Yeah.
And I love the guy who's playing Kelly's dad. His face is hilarious because he's, like, smiling because he's looking at Carol.
Yeah.
And you can tell he's like, hey, yeah. He's into it. And Michael totally kills the conversation because it seems like it's going okay. And he just asks them if their marriage is the kind where if he dies, do you jump into a fire?
Yeah. Do you throw yourself onto a fire? Jesus Christ.
And, like, of course, Carol comes over and gets
him.
Oh, she looks pissed, the mom.
Yeah.
So we go back to Stamford and more shots. And she dumps hers. Jim is getting blitzed.
Yeah, he is.
Now, Mike and Carol are dancing. And Michael looks at Kelly's parents, and they're sitting there smiling. It's almost like in the sexual harassment episode when Michael wants to say that's what she said, and Packer's looking at him. Giving him it's like one of those.
Oh,
and
I miss Packer.
I'm waiting for the return so bad. Every week I'm like, is this it? Is this the one? Still hasn't come. But
it's almost like he idolizes the Kapoor's marriage, even though
it's
an
what he wants.
Marriage.
It's what he wants because they seem happy and they're together and they have a family.
Yeah.
And he wants that. That's all Michael actually wants out of life. He's naive and stupid and tactless and dull.
Yeah.
But he wants something virtuous in a sense, you know?
Yeah.
So Carol asks him if he's okay, and he's like, I'm going to be. And he goes up to the DJ booth and he takes the mic. And he asks Carol to marry him.
But first he calls himself a crazy gringo.
Well, he's trying.
Oh my God. He's like, I know you're all probably looking at me going like, what's this crazy gringo doing? It's like wrong religion, wrong ethnicity, wrong everything.
So, wrong language.
Wrong language, wrong everything.
So awesome. But like, Carol just says, can we speak privately? And he knows he fucked up.
He knows.
And he drops the mic and he's like, oh, God. So we see them walking out and Carol says to him, it's the 9th date.
What the fuck?
Only the 9th date. They probably haven't even said I love you. And I don't think they had sex.
Michael keeps on saying like, oh, she comes over and we have sex.
But Jan. He's just doing that to get under Jan's skin.
Yeah.
So they're walking out and pretty much she says, I'm leaving. Can you get home? And he goes, yeah. And he tries one last chance to go with her. And he says, I have a book called The Kama Sutra.
Oh, my God.
And that pretty much seals
it.
Like,
but he does say like something like, maybe I am Hindu after all.
Oh, yeah, because... oh, shit.
I'm trying to think of what context that was in.
Oh, because he likes her so much that he feels a certain... Oh, fuck. It was like, I feel the expanse of the universe or something.
Oh,
it was something
like
that where he tried
to
get deep, you know?
Yeah, and he's like, maybe I am Hindu after all.
Yeah,
or not after she shoots him a look.
It was a weak line. And so now we go back inside the Diwali celebration, and Ryan is talking to Kelly's parents, and they're grilling him.
Yeah, they
kind of like you expect parents to grill a boyfriend, you know? Like, what are you, you're saving money for the future.
What are your intentions?
Yeah. And the dad seems to think that he's going to ask him to marry her.
Yeah.
Because the dad's like, don't you have something to ask us?
Well, and Ryan's like, well, I'm not a temp anymore, so, you know, I'm saving money. And they're like, oh, are you saving for anything specific, like kids? And he goes, travel, maybe buy an Xbox. Like, such a child.
Such a great answer. So while this is going on, Pam is talking to the doctor she was dancing with.
Yeah.
And she shits on Michael.
I can't believe he proposed to Carol.
In public.
Oh, my God.
You didn't catch that? When she... What happened to her and Roy?
Yeah.
And she accepted it. It's a little...
yikes.
She's not looking critically at herself, I suppose. Although they aren't together anymore.
They set a date in public. They didn't get proposed to in public.
Okay.
At least not that we're aware of.
No, they were engaged at the time because it was 3 years long.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, it was a public thing where he picked up the microphone and did it.
And
maybe that's part of why Mike felt it was okay. You know, like, you know, a little nugget that kind of came through, you know?
Maybe.
But so then we go and Pam texts Jim.
Oh, after she's talking to
after
Angela.
She has a talk with Angela. Angela shits.
She's guarding the shoes.
She doesn't want the Indians to steal her shoes.
God.
So Pam texts Jim. His phone goes off, but he's passed out on his desk, and Andy's laying on the floor singing.
My God, what a fucking mess!
And then Jim joins in, and they duet. And meanwhile, Karen's just like,
"Fuck this!"
Yeah, these guys are horrible. Now. Michael's outside eating, and he's lonely. You can tell he's just like trying to get over
it. He's trying to eat, but he just can't.
He hates the food.
Yeah.
And Pam sits with him, and she's waiting to hear from Jim. She keeps looking at her phone and that. And Mike says, you know, we both had broken engagements now. And she says that she thought something would happen that night, too. Now, that's kind of a vague... illusion. I don't know what it's alluding to.
Yeah.
Because she just texted Jim. It's not like he was going to jump right back.
Yeah, that's
true. Did she expect Roy to show up? I don't know. It's kind
of... Maybe she thought she'd find a love connection.
It's just different. But then Michael leans in to kiss her. And she like gets weirded out. And what the fuck was that about? What is that?
I think Michael is just that fucking desperate. Like, he thinks that anybody being kind to him, like, Pam brought him a drink. I think, like, oh, we're both depressed. Like, we're both upset about how tonight went.
This took me completely out of the episode because, okay, so the whole proposing to Carol thing.
Yeah.
That's in character for Michael.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not even, like, the top five cringy things he's done on the show thus far, believe it or not.
True.
But you have to also remember, this is totally out of character, though.
If you think about it, though, the last time he was a complete buffoon in public, Jan hooked up with him.
But he wasn't a buffoon because he succeeded. He made a sale.
He did, but he was a buffoon.
I don't know. Well, he wasn't a buffoon this night, though.
The like, joke?
What joke?
The brown probe?
That's I'm talking about this night. I'm talking about Diwali.
Diwali.
Yeah, I'm talking about Diwali.
Well, he kind of was, though, because...
He was just enjoying himself.
He jumped the gun by proposing to Carol after 9 fucking days.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a misstep, obviously. But I mean, I'm talking about his behavior.
Pam is lonely and
But they've never intimated that he's, like, attracted to her.
Or that Mikey-likey?
He's just like that with all women, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
not like that he would be seriously.
Yeah, like that he'd want to kiss her or something like that. I don't know. It took me out of the episode. And then he asks for a ride home and she says he can sit in the back.
Yeah.
So she's not so
disgusted
by it. Like, she'll still give him a ride home.
It's almost like she expected it.
In a sense, which is really a sad commentary again. Then we go back to Stanford and Jim needs a ride home. But Andy's just blown up an air mattress. He's sleeping in the
office.
The office. Jim puts all the stuff away. He doesn't see the message from Pam.
Mm-hmm.
He puts his phone away. And he tries to get his bike out and he collapses into a bush.
Jesus.
And Karen pulls up and says, like, put your shit in my car. I'm going to drive you home. So he, like, lays in the back seat. She puts the bike in the back and they take off. Meanwhile, we go back to Pam, who's driving. And Michael's in the back seat like a 5-year-old. These aren't my shoes.
Took the wrong fucking shoes.
He took the wrong shoes. And then he like says something like, this is like taxicab confessions. And Pam just says, stop talking or I'm stopping the car. And he goes, okay. And he just sits back. So you would think that's how the episode would end. But no. We get a closing card with Michael doing a Diwali song in the spirit of Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song.
While Dwight plays guitar.
Dwight plays guitar and Michael does the Diwali song. And of course, like, he ends it and the entire place, like, erupts a standing ovation. Like, he just killed it. Like,
it actually was really funny.
It was not bad. He did it in the Sandler...
Time to put on your sari. It's time to celebrate Diwali.
Yeah, he does it in the Sandler voice. Like, oh, no.
He does.
But, I mean, that ends the episode. On a pretty high note, for the most part. As opposed to some other ones that are downers. So what did you rate Diwali?
You're not gonna like it, but I give it a 4.2.
That's high. I gave it 3.
And I thought it was really funny.
I thought it was funny in parts. It was funny, and the character stuff was the Michael stuff at the end kind of took me out.
I know. That's why you're giving it a 3, because of the Michael stuff at the end. It took you out of
not only that,
episode as a whole. Was funny.
The Stanford stuff was lame again.
Again, yeah. Where that's what we've come to expect,
like, it's,
from Stanford.
I feel like it's been a holding pattern for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Where it's just the
Stanford
same
sucks.
Thing. But, like...
That's why Jim is there to lighten it up, but he's got a breakthrough to the other side.
To be honest, I think that the whole asking Carol to marry him thing, I felt like that should have been a lot later. Like, I feel like the episode peaked too soon. And that the last... let's say 8-7 minutes of the show was meandering.
Yeah.
And it didn't really have any life to it. Like, there was the Pam thing, but it just didn't have what the first half of the episode had. It was
just
like,
didn't do it for me.
It didn't do it for me. No, like, I thought it built up awesome. But like I said, the last few minutes were just...
Yeah, no, I could see where you're saying.
It just crested too soon. Like, that should have been, like, the big blow-off, and then everybody cleans it up in the last 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Instead, it happened, like, almost at the midpoint of the episode.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of, like, meandered. And that was my only main issue with it. Okay. I feel like this is another case where this show had something set up on a tee for them, and they didn't execute it as well as it could have been. I feel like they missed
this
an opportunity.
This could have been a five.
I think it could
this
have been.
This easily could have been a five-star episode.
Because this is one where the Michael Scott character is meant to go out there and be a lunatic.
A buffoon.
Yeah. And you're like, you laugh at him because he is so wrong and so pig-headed. And instead they kind of played it safe where all of a sudden he was like, well, I want, yeah, he was. He was like, I don't want to screw up in front of Carol. I want to know more about Diwali. I want to be a part of this. Like, and that's good. Like, that's what all good human beings should be.
Yeah.
That's what a normal, well-adjusted human being should do. But this
Michael
is a comedy.
Scott is not a well-adjusted
This is a comedy
human.
That focuses on a guy who is a complete and utter ass.
Yeah.
And so you, I guess the expectations when I saw this episode and what it was going to be about, my expectations were, oh my God, this is the kind of environment that you put Michael in and you get sexual harassment episode.
Mm-hmm.
You get the diversity day. You get, the other one where you're a complete fucking asshole.
Gay witch hunt?
Gay witch hunt, yeah. Where there's these socially taboo subjects.
Yeah, social taboo. Yeah. Like, you shouldn't do certain things.
You shouldn't do or say certain things.
It's a religious...
Things. Yeah.
It's a religious holiday.
Yeah, and I mean, we got a little taste of it in the cold open where you talk about Hindu Halloween and unpronounceable names and stuff like that. And... like, you want to laugh at Michael Scott, and in this, you didn't get the chance to laugh at him.
Yeah.
And in the end, they made you feel sorry for him. Because
for
he
being
made,
an ass.
For fucking up so bad. And I feel like that's not what the series has led us to buy into or expect so
far.
No,
I agree.
So it's kind of a curveball. So maybe part of my being down on it is because it didn't
had
meet the...
had so much potential.
Yeah, it had potential, and it didn't meet the expectations that we have been led to kind of believe in.
I can understand that.
But, I mean, overall, it was good, but there's just a few glitches, you know?
I gotcha.
So, do you have any questions? I have a few things jotted down
here. Go for it, dude.
Okay. Kelly and Ryan. Why the fuck is he doing this? He's so unhappy. He's obviously uncomfortable.
Well, it's a booty.
He can get... Okay. You're going to tell me a guy who looks like Ryan in the Scranton area can't get some booty?
A guy who looks like Ryan in the Scranton area who's a fucking temp.
That doesn't matter. It's Scranton. Let's be honest here.
For a quality girl, it does matter.
Scranton,
sorry, guys, but get a fucking career.
Scranton is not San Diego. It is not Miami. Hell, it's not New York. It's not even Boston.
Yeah, but he's also an asshole.
Girls love assholes.
No, he's like, I'm better than everybody. But
he just wants some booty.
And he's also, 5'4".
But he, with Kelly, why do you do this with your coworker?
He a booty call.
He just
wants to booty. It's something to keep him busy until he gets to where he wants to be.
Do booty calls meet the parents?
No.
Okay, that's all I want to hear.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's like, it's a relationship.
It's almost like he's wasting time until he's just like, yeah, I'm going to do this till I'm done with business school. Then I'm going to go wherever and I'm just going to break up with her.
I guess, but...
he's
I wouldn't,
just bringing her along.
If I was in that position, I'd be like, no, not meeting your sisters, not meeting your parents,
he's
no.
He's just playing along, I think, honestly.
So, we've crapped on the Stanford stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Jim and Karen, what do you...
It's
like,
so
what,
boring.
What's your impression? We don't
There's
even know...
Honestly,
we don't know anything
don't
about
feel
her.
A connection between them.
No, it's just two attractive people who... see each other.
But they don't
day.
Even say full sentences to each other. They
no.
just say fucking fragments and then smile at each other. If they had an actual conversation, cool. But they're literally, it's just fragments.
Yeah, there's no build up at all.
One day they smiled at each other and made a snarky comment to each
and
other.
And then they got chips and then they gave Andy a squeaky chair.
Yeah.
And it's just there's no depth to
Nothing.
It at all. So I don't care. I think that's part of people are going to listen to this, and they're going to be like, listen to this motherfucker going out there and shitting all over the gym and Karen. There's no there.
Listen, Karen is the most hated character in The Office
anthology. Well, don't tell me that, because I don't know.
I'm just saying, she is, though.
She seems nice enough. But then again, I don't know a fucking thing, because there's no exposition of this character at all. There's nothing there. So I guess I just don't care, because...
Yeah, because there's no background.
Yeah, it's just Jim and her.
It could literally be a fucking paperclip that Jim is flirting with at this point.
It's a pretty face that smirks at
She's
Jim.
She's gorgeous.
She's pretty.
I love Rashida Jones.
Would you dyke out for her?
I wouldn't go that far. I'm a married woman. I'm just saying
I just want the way you're drooling into the microphone.
She's gorgeous.
Okay, she's gorgeous. She's a pretty woman. Not going to lie. Okay.
Pretty woman.
So, Roy, what you make about that?
I think he's trying, and I actually do feel bad for him this episode.
I love Roy. I've made my point known. I've made myself clear on this.
Would you go gay for him, Kevin?
If he keeps the beard. Roy's the man. Roy is...
He's trying to make a change, and he's trying to show Pam that he made a change, but I think he's so self-conscious that...
But he never used to be.
No, he didn't, but I think he's so afraid of losing her at this point.
He already did,
that,
though.
But I mean, like, if he were to get another chance, he doesn't want to fuck it up.
I get that.
So he's being extra cautious this time around, because he doesn't want to go in and guns
blazing,
yeah,
and be like, make a mistake by being too hasty.
He wants to show her that he's different,
which is the right way of going about it.
I agree. And
so, I mean, other than that, okay, here's another question. What the hell is Pam doing? It seems like this character has lost its mooring.
Oh, she absolutely has lost her foundation. She has no fucking clue what she's
like. Each
each
episode, like, Pam is like in a different predicament or acting a different way.
Yeah.
Like, this character has no base anymore.
I think she's lost her foundation. Like, she's trying... Like I said last week, though, she was with Roy since high school. She's trying to figure out who the fuck she is, and she deserves the time to understand that.
I'm not... Okay, you're getting defensive there. I'm just saying, like, what do you think about it? That's all.
I'm just saying. I think that she's still trying to figure out who she is.
All right, that's commendable.
Yeah, it's just for her. She's trying.
It's just odd to watch.
It is. It's very painful.
Like, in one episode, she's Michael's mom. And another episode, she's, like, trying to dance with people, and then
I think that was just her trying to make the most out of the
situation. No, I know, but then she's, like, hung up on Jim. Then she doesn't want to be social. But when she is social, she's very social. Like,
yeah.
It's like she's losing control. I mean, we've been there.
Yeah.
I mean, not us. I mean, I'm sure we have in different instances or under different circumstances, but I'm talking about people in general. We all have those things where we feel like we are unattached to things.
Oh, yeah.
And disattached, or unattached. I don't know what the
unattached.
Fuck I'm saying. Yeah, not to people, but to life in general. And we just kind of do things.
Feel like you're floating.
Yeah, we just do things and act different ways because we're trying to find a base or a home.
What you're comfortable at. Like, what makes you feel the most you.
Yeah, and I think that's what she's doing. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But it's a lot more interesting than watching fucking Karen and Jim.
Squeaky chairs.
So.
God damn it.
I mean, do you want to add anything else to Diwali?
I think it had a lot of potential, but I think from what they could do with it at this point, I guess, I did find it funny. I laughed at a lot.
Well, it's funny. It had its moments, but I...
So I stand by my...
I can't help but feel like I was getting a big spoonful of banana pudding, and it was vanilla.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just one of
those
things. Yeah, it was just one of those things. But, I mean, it was solid enough. It was much better than the initiation. So, what do we got next week? What are we doing?
So, next week, these titles are very telling.
Okay.
So, episode 7, branch closing.
Oh, Jesus, okay.
Episode 8, the merger.
Oh, well, so things are moving fast in these next few, huh?
Yes.
Okay, I'm excited. Can't wait to hear about this.
Yes, very excited to watch some.
All right, so we're going to sign off for this week, guys, but we want to thank you for listening. We'll hope you'll tune in for that next episode.
Absolutely, and guys, remember, if you want to reach out to us, I just tweeted the vending machine picture from our last episode.
That's right.
You can hit us up on Twitter at @BrosisPodcast or send us your feedback at BrothersisterRewatch@gmail.com.
Yeah. Get in touch with
always,
us. Check us out.
You follow Place to Be Nation and check out all of the different stuff that they have over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really awesome website and cool place to be.
Nice, smooth. We
like
appreciate your listens, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good one, guys. Bye.